Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Holy Gospel from St. Matthew chapter 2. Ancient Egypt was a place of safety to save Jacob's family during a famine. In God's plan, Jacob's favorite son Joseph was set on ahead in a story that still amazes us today. His brothers had sold him into slavery, and by every reasonable thing, he should have perished there, never to be heard about again. And yet Joseph is responsible for keeping God's chosen people alive, having ascended to the seat of the second most powerful man in the most powerful nation of that time. The hand of God is clearly evident in protecting the nation of Israel. However, Egypt also became a place of slavery for God's people. A new Pharaoh who did not know Joseph enslaved God's son, Israel. And it was not until God sent Moses to lead them out of Egyptian bondage that Israel again became free. Hosea's words describe history, but also point us to the real exodus from the Egypt of sin, death, and hell. And a man named Joseph is responsible for the safety of the Savior of the whole world. All that is fulfilled in the Gospels has been rehearsed in the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews calls these things a shadow of the good things to come. Joseph brings Israel, his father Jacob, and the whole family to Egypt to escape death by starvation. And yet in Egypt, they would be enslaved. But according to God's promise, they would be led out by God himself. I myself will bring you up again, said God. Our gospel reading tells us about a second Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. He brings the true Israel to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous rage. And yet, out of Egypt have I called my son has greater fulfillment. This exodus will be the true liberation, the liberation that the first exodus merely foreshadowed. It will be the liberation from sin, death, and hell. Christ will bring us through the desert of Sinai to the promised land. Christ filled all of these things up according to God's final intent. New Testament Joseph is an unsung hero. The world's salvation hanging on his obedience to the Word of God. This New Testament Joseph will save God's only begotten Son, the one on whom hung the salvation of the world. The nation of Israel was called God's son, but he was a wayward son. Jesus used the imagery of sons to describe Israel. The parables in particular bring us the parables about sons. Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, probably better understood as the parable of the waiting father, who has two rebellious sons. Sons, again, are portrayed in the parable of the two sons, both of whom were disobedient, but in different ways. Israel's history is a sad record of failure to be the son that God intended. One of Matthew's motifs is that Jesus is the true son of Israel. In other words, Jesus is the true Israel. He is everything that old Israel was not. And in this prophecy and fulfillment statement of Matthew, God the Holy Spirit tells us that Jesus is the obedient son that Israel had never been. In our theological jargon, Israel is the type and Jesus is the antitype. But perhaps an easier way of remembering it is to call it prophecy and fulfillment, or shadow and reality. Jesus is the true son of Abraham and David. Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of the Most High God. The Psalms describe God's rule over all the kings and rulers of the earth. Psalm 47 declares, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. And of those who try to usurp his throne, the psalmist writes, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Jesus is that true King of Kings. But there have always been rivals to his throne. The Magi brought the news to Herod that they had come to worship him who had been born king of the Jews. Herod was not a Jew, but half Jew and half Idumean. And most of the Jews hated him. He was also one of the most bloodthirsty men that has ever lived. He was deeply paranoid, having assassinated most of his family, including many of his own sons. And when Herod reached old age, he issued an edict that the most distinguished citizens of Jerusalem should be arrested and imprisoned. He ordered that at the moment he died, they should all be killed because he was worried that no one would mourn his death. And he was determined that tears should be shed when he died. Herod has become the poster child of what people will do to get rid of Christ. Herod was disturbed that someone should usurp his reign. And so he set about to make absolutely sure that this newborn king of the Jews would not survive. He would eliminate any potential threat or rival to his power. The number of baby boys slaughtered in Bethlehem probably did not number more than about 30, because Bethlehem was a little town, just as we sing about it in the Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Yet the slaughter of 30 babies would make international news these days, except, of course, if they are aborted. The slaughter of what we call the holy innocent shows the depths of human depravity. We can liken it to any ruler who kills innocent people, even babies, to cement his own evil reign of terror. Historians tell us that Joseph Stalin, a very evil Joseph, murdered more than 20 million of his own people, so paranoid was he about any rivals to his power. And we can certainly draw a parallel to the unchecked practice of abortion in our nation. Well over 50 million babies have been slaughtered on the altar of self-preservation since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Add to this the rising number of Christians who are brutally murdered for confessing the name of Christ. God's children are increasingly ridiculed and persecuted, sometimes even killed in the very sanctuaries in which they worship. It is as the Apostle Peter writes in his epistle. But it isn't just Herod and the Herods of our day. It is anyone who will not have Christ on the throne. You and I keep Christ off of the throne by justifying our sinful behavior. Instead, we install ourselves as Lord and Master of our lives. It's a replay of the sin of our first parents. We put ourselves in the place of God. We put ourselves on God's throne. As a side note on the slaughter of the innocents, we take comfort in the fact that these parents likely had followed the law of Moses, and all of these baby boys would have been circumcised on the eighth day and belonged to God, not to Herod's madness. Their deaths remind us that those who confess Christ may indeed suffer violence because of him. And yet it is not the end for those who confess Christ. It is not our eternal end, but the eternal day for those who are in Christ by holy baptism. New Testament Joseph is a saint. Yet sadly, few Lutherans have named their sons after this remarkable saint, nor are there Lutheran congregations named in his honor. The name Joseph means may God add posterity. He's definitely underappreciated. Joseph simply obeys. He listens to the angel tell him of Mary's pregnancy and what he must do in marrying her. He believes the angel's word that this child is from the Holy Spirit. And it is Joseph who obeys God and gives this child the name that defines his mission, Jesus, Savior. Jesus will save his people from their sins. He will save the world by bringing his people out of the bondage of Egypt, the slavery of sin. And after the departure of the Magi, the angel again appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him that he needed to take the child and his mother from Egypt, or to flee to Egypt, and there he was told to await further instructions. And immediately that very night, Joseph took charge, taking Jesus and Mary, and headed for Egypt. And when further instructions arrived to return to Israel, Joseph shines again. Instead of heading back to Judea, where Herod's murderous son Archelaus was reigning, Joseph relocated to Galilee. And again, God protected his Christ and fulfilled yet another scripture that he shall be called a Nazarene. The rulers of this earth think that they can thwart the plans of God, but not so. God will not be stopped by puny human beings. As Luther reminds us, the powerful of this earth can take our goods, our fame, even our child and our wife. Even if these are snatched away from us, Satan and his legions cannot steal us from God's kingdom. As God protected his son Jesus through Joseph, so God protects his children by keeping them in the true faith until he delivers them. You have been baptized into Christ and into eternal life. And today another child has been brought forth from the Egypt of sin, death, and hell and escorted safely into God's eternal kingdom. Robert Andrew Keller has been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. Although the words, "out of Egypt I called my son," directly refer to our Lord's and the events of his infancy, they apply to everyone who has been baptized into Christ by water and the word. When we reach the great vigil of Easter in Holy Week, we will again hear of the true exodus which our Lord Jesus Christ has won for us. And so God's Son saves his people from their sins, just as the name Jesus proclaims. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the true Israel who redeems us from the death of sin. He is the world's Savior. He brings you out of the Egypt of slavery and death to the promised land of eternal life. There is so much more here. It is a marvelous account of God's plans being accomplished in spite of the horrific acts of a sinful madman. The salvation which comes through the true Son of God will not be derailed by the evil machinations of any ruler, any human being. And we must take abundant comfort in that, knowing that all those who have been baptized into Christ have a sure, certain, and glorious inheritance in Christ. Out of Egypt I called my son fulfills the prophecy as it pertains to Christ, but it fulfills God's will also for you who have been baptized into his death and resurrection. He has called you out of Egypt. You are his son, and he will bring you to the promised land of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.